Well, you know, Farno, that whenever you see Emeritus Professor Sir Mason Dury is a speaker at any function, you know that you will get the people along. And so it was today, because today is a milestone. It's the 40-year milestone of the Hui Whakaorana, and that was held actually on the 19th of March, 1984. And so what are we now? The 19th of March, 2024, 40 years. And, of course, Professor Sir Mason Dury was there and really talking about what was required in terms of a new direction for Māori health. And he's certainly been so active in that area over many years. And so he was a speaker today at a hui that I attended, along with many people. The hui was hosted by Whānau Ora. And of course, in the spirit of full disclosure, I have to tell you that I am the chair of Whānau Ora and the commissioning agency, and have been so for the last 10 years. And Sir Mason Dury is actually the po for our Whānau Ora commissioning agency. So we've had so much to do with him. But I wasn't at that hui in 1984. But what we're saying now is that it's time to, after 40 years, because we know that change is upon us, change is definitely here. This government has signaled that. And so today, speaking today about Whānau Ora and Whakaoranga, and the research that's been going on there, the Whānau Ora Rangaho launch, was the director of Wairangiho, Hector Kawai. And of course, he is here with us this evening. Kia ora, Hector. Thank you for being with us on Radio Wātea this evening.
Kia ora, Whaia. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Well, it was a very great, it was a great turnout from Whānau Ora providers today. And that was really what it was for, because, you know, we're wanting to, I guess you could say, lead from the front for the next 40 years, if not longer. So it was very appropriate, first of all, that Whānau Ora hosts the hui today, but also give us time to reflect on the 40 years that have just passed.
Yeah. And I was just going to add, Whaia, I just got so much feedback about you and how inspiring you were today, especially in our current political climate, just to hear of the positivity that you brought and the that energy that you brought. So I just wanted to just convey that to you, Whaia, that you know, everybody was very inspired by your words today.
Well, thank you, Hector. Thank you so much for that, because sometimes I feel, oh, my goodness, you know, I better have a quick look around, see if there's any media there, and am I going to be reported, or goodness knows what. But, you know, you get to a certain age, Hector, and you think, oh, who cares? It's my job to speak up.
Whaia, you have earned the right. You've earned your stripes. So this is, you know, that's what you've earned. You know, you're here, and you just tell us what you need, and we will be there to do it and serve your needs.
Thank you. Look, Hector, you're a researcher. So when you saw, I guess it was just a walk down memory lane that Sir Mason put up in terms of the chronology of events that have taken place. And actually, Hector, they're really significant when you look at them, how they have shaped where we've got to today. And that's in the recent history of 40 years. Because you're a researcher, what did you think when you looked at that chronology of events, and of course the people with the photos that were up there, who'd played such a significant a role in an environment at that time, Hector, that was not conducive to supporting Māori aspirations?
You know, there's as you were talking, Whaia, there was a couple of thoughts that came to me, because I even think of some of our earlier leaders, like you know, Te Apiranga Naka as well. And of course, I'm being biased in mentioning him because I am Ngāti Porou. But thinking about the political environments in which they had to operate, you know, and then of course with a lot of our current leaders. But I just thought, Whaia, maybe it'd be quite good too, just to give a little bit of context for our hui today, which was our hui Whakaoranga. So it really was the 40-year celebration of the original Hui Whakaoranga, which was run in 1984 on the 19th of March. So 40 years to the day, you know, we were celebrating 40 years of Māori health development. And of course, we were graced, had the privilege of listening to, you know, Tā Mason Drury today, and him sharing the last 40 years and the importance that Māori leadership, and when I say Māori leadership, I include you in there, Amiri Pekka, just how pivotal that Māori leadership has been to the development and of health and well-being, but and even in the broader sense for Te Iwi Māori, you know. So it was, yes, a celebration of Hui Whakaoranga, but I also felt it was a celebration of Te Iwi Māori today.
Yes, I think you're quite right. And when you look at who was profiled there up on the screen, and so many people, and, you know, they've all played their part at a certain time. And you know, it you feel quite humbled when you think that we've picked up the baton, they've passed the baton to us, and we're doing our bit. But they were definitely the forerunners, the front runners, and the forerunners of actually where we've got, where what we've achieved, and where we are today.
Yeah, I think a great example of that fire too was at that original hui all the way back in 1984. That's when the world was introduced to Te Whare Tapawha. And as we know, you know, that's one of Sir Mason's health models that has become a cornerstone, an absolute cornerstone of Māori health and development over the last 40 years. I think the really interesting thing about, you know, Te Whare Tapawha, when you are working with, you know, a lot of mainstream organisations, for a lot of them, Te Whare Tapawha is actually new. You know, it's new, it's innovative. For Māori, that was 40 years ago, but then Te Whare Tapawha also came from our own knowledge systems about what, you know, what is important in terms of well-being for our whānau, you know. So, you know, a lot of the stuff that Sir Mason and them did 40 years ago, all of that has is all coming to fruition, and I think probably one of the best sort of manifestations of Te Whare Tapawha is whānau ora, you know, and some of the great things that whānau ora have been able to do, you know, when you read through the original hui conference proceedings from 1984, you know, everything that whānau ora is doing at the moment was just a dream back then, you know. It was these Māori leaders coming together, you know, trying to envision, you know, the future of Māori health and what that might look like going forward, you know. And to me, you know, Whānau Ora has become the exemplar of that vision and the expression of that vision. But as you can see for fire, you know, it's taken 40 years to get, for us to get to that point.
Well, it certainly has. And, of course, the other thing is, too, that when you look at Te Whare Tapawha, when you look at that, excuse me, then you know that because that has been so successful, that we really do have many of the solutions, if not all of the solutions, to the ills and woes that beset Māori. So we shouldn't be surprised that Te Whare Tapawha has been successful, because you know, it's of our own. It was nothing new, and so it had been successful in its own way. And now, and of course, then we were prepared to share that with everyone.
Yes, and I so agree with you there, Fire. You know, Te Whare Tapawha has been developed within a Te Ao Māori framing. But as we know, what works for Māori works for everybody. And I think that's the, you know, one of the key things about whānau ora. You know, it's very interesting listening to people think about whānau ora, oh, that's just for Māori. But as you know, Whaia, during our COVID response, our kaimahi, our Māori kaimahi, our kaupapa Māori organisations, we're working with the whole community, you know, and supporting the whole community. Because why we are focused on whānau, but as part of the research, you know, it was so so empowering to hear feedback, not just from our Māori whānau, but from our non-Māori whānau about the experience that they have when they engage with Māori and Māori health providers out there. So you're absolutely right, Whaia. You know, to me, whānau ora isn't just a model for Māori well-being, it's a model for the well-being of the whole of New Zealand.
Yes, and I think that's probably one of the significant issues that I would have with the Ministry of Health, because Te Whatu Ora, is that they suspect, well, I believe that they believe that, you know, the monopoly on ideas, on a good policy and services and the development of services rests with them, particularly in relationship to what Māori feel that they need and would like to see provided. And as you and I well know, that they have fallen well short in the past.
Yes, that's right, Whaia. And again, you know, whānau ora was a response to those mainstream organisations basically failing us for decades. You know, another great example of that, you know, and again, I'm so thankful for your support is when we did the Māori-led inquiry. You know, we've had organisations like OT failing review after review after review, you know, and again, that was just an example of saying, you know what, we've had enough, you know, it's time for us to stand up and say, you know, you've had your chance, you know, we've given you decades of opportunity to do better for Māori, but actually it's time for us and to do it for ourselves. And as you said earlier, Whaia, we know that the solutions are with our whānau, you know, and they have the solutions. Why? Because nobody, you know, our whānau are the experts in their own lives, not some government agency or some mainstream service.
Well, yeah, and that is very true. And if you look around everywhere where there have been Māori initiatives that have gained the support of our whānau, it is because they are by Māori, developed by Māori, with Māori, for Māori. And that is what makes them so successful. None of this business about we know what's important for you, and when we've developed something, we'll consult with you and we'll show it to you and we'll tweak it if necessary. But basically, this is it. This is what you're going to get, and take it or leave it. Well, those days are long gone, Hector.
Yeah, and you're so right about that, Whaia, as always. You know, because there's a lot of political rhetoric out there at the moment around, you know, race-based policies. You know, but actually, this is not what works for our whānau, it's not ideological, it's not about race, it's about actually what works and, what we know from the research and from the evidence that we've been able to collect that by Māori, for Māori, are the best solutions.
Well, you know, you just mentioned something that was alluded to today in the debate, and I thought that was really quite interesting about what works. And, of course, we all know, I believe, and it's quite true, Hector, that data these days is king. It is king. So as a researcher, how do you go about making sure that as we move to the next 40 years, and you'll be around by then, you'll still be here.
I hope so, Whaia, I hope so.
So to see Māori really healthy, well, grounded in te ao Māori and living to their potential, what is it that you as a researcher with your team, what is it that you are looking to now have to start to think of in collecting the data, or is there sufficient out there, or is it something new now that we've got to look at certain areas in particular?
That is a great question, Whaia. I think you were there as well. You know, we had it wasn't intentional, but I think it almost ended up being a bit of a wānanga with our providers. Obviously, I got up to talk about the launch of a new research project that's going to be working alongside our whānau ward partners in co-designing a vision for the future for Māori health and wellbeing. I think one of the key things, though, that came up in that conversation is around the importance of being able to tell our own stories. And this goes back to your conversation around the data. The current issue with the data that is getting collected, it's based in deficit. You know, it's based in this idea is that our whānau are broken. You know, our whānau need to be fixed. You know, we in whānau ward are about, you know what, actually our whānau aren't broken. Our whānau don't need to be fixed. And in fact, you know, they have the solutions. So I think it's more about making sure that we are capturing those stories. And why do I say that? You know, we always hear in the media and in the news, and one thing, you know, maybe to your listeners, but even to you, Fire, if you go to Google and you type in Māori, the first thing that comes up is, you know, Māori fill the prisons, you know, Māori are bad parents, you know, Māori have terrible health outcomes, you know, so that's, that data paints a very specific, you know, narrative and story about us. So I think going forward, it's about us making sure that we tell our stories and, you know, through your mahi, through the Whānau Water Commissioning Agency, I know that you are absolutely aware of the incredible work that our partners are doing out there and the amazing stories of transformation that our whānau have been able to achieve with the support of Whānau Water, you know, but nobody's capturing those stories. And it's almost like government's not even interested in their stories. You know, they're interested in the bad news stuff, you know. So I think, you know, for me going forward, this is really important that we build that research capability within our providers for us to be able to tell our own stories.
And so will the taumata, and you can talk a little bit about that, is that what is that what you're calling the research, or is that the transformational data that will advocate for a better position? Can you give me some clarity on that?
Yes, absolutely, Fire. So, you know, again, we had that opportunity to talk with our whānau, our whānau water whānau, you know, and that concept of the taumata, you know, what Sir Mason has called taumata Māori. I feel like that's going to be a really powerful, you know, tool for ensuring that we're getting those diverse voices and experiences of our whānau. What's going to help us go forward is that, you know, that the voices of our whānau, and particularly those whānau that who are normally, for various reasons, aren't at the table. You know, a lot of our whānau are having other people make decisions for them. I think this concept you know, Matua Mason shared today about this idea of the taumata Māori is going to be really powerful in ensuring that the voices of our whānau are heard, and that it's going to be them who are going to be helping to shape and direct our future.
And I think too that, you know, but to make the transformational change that's required, then that does mean that we have to have something such as Māori taumata. Otherwise, the significant transformation, transformation might be half-hearted, it might be unbalanced, and it might not have the lasting results that are required for significant transformation. So you will play a big part in informing the taumata.
Yeah. And under your guidance and leadership, though, Fire, absolutely. So I think we've all got a part to play there.
Yes. Yeah, and I heard that coming through very clearly
Yes.
from a number of the providers today, asking what is it that they can do and how can they inform. And you were very clear about really it is our stories,
Yeah.
because in telling the stories, so often while the whānau themselves might not identify, sometimes the actions and maybe strategies and vision will fall out of
Yes.
those lived experience stories.
Yes, absolutely. And that was definitely a theme that came through very strongly in Tā Mason's kōrero today around the importance of lived experience, you know. And I think one of the examples that we shared today is we have a lot of non-Māori developing up policies, developing up strategies for Māori. And we're talking about people who don't have lived experience, who don't have lived experience of actually being Māori and living in Māori communities, you know. And so that idea of lived experience is going to actually be really important, you know. And again, Sir Mason saw that as a key theme going through and going back to that concept of the taumata Māori, I would see that as a place and as a forum to ensure that those whānau that have lived experience are actually included there and that their voices are contributing to the conversations going forward.
Yes, because as you and I know, that in the past, heck, that they've always felt that somebody is, is judging for one thing, and
Yes, that's
somebody
right.
has a clear view right from the start before they've even heard what their story is,
Yeah.
and never walked in their shoes, never walked
Yes.
3 minutes in their shoes, let alone 3 miles in their shoes.
Yes.
And so for them, it is hard to believe that anything will change. So this is where the
Yeah.
providers who live in those communities, who know the
Yeah.
whānau, many of them are whanaunga too, so they have a better chance of making policy that truly reflects what is actually needed not only by the provider, of course, of the services, but also by the consumers, by the whānau, by the service
Absolutely,
user.
Fire.
So,
Yes,
look, Hester,
and
just finally, sorry,
yeah,
please go ahead. Yes.
no. I was absolutely agreeing with you too, Fire. And I think very quickly, the magic of our providers is that when you talk to the whānau, they see their providers not as providers actually, they see them as whānau, you know. And so, when whānau feel like that, that's when all the barriers come down, right? That's when the trust levels go up, and that's how we're able to get that reach. That's how we're able to get that engagement, and the level of engagement that you don't see through other services, and particularly mainstream services. But I do realise I've probably taken up all your time, Fire, and it sounds like you have a final final question, Pātai.
Yes, I do have. And it really is around what we're seeing now with this current coalition government, obviously with National, New Zealand First, and ACT. So there's a climate and an atmosphere out there that I think is being, to a certain extent, well, it is, I believe, stoked by the government, by the
Yes.
coalition government, which seems to me to be giving the Māori the bash, plus our vulnerable families. And it's not necessary because when you're down, you don't kick a person when they're down. You extend the hand and say, listen, we're here to help. And so we've got to work on this together. So how would you say, because, just the mere suggestion that Māori might want to be in charge of the policy development that will lead our whānau to a better place will send shivers up the spine of particularly some of the significant government agencies in Wellington and of course some of the significant Pākehā providers who have Māori service users or consumers of their services as well. So how would you say that we have to ensure that we remain, I suppose really, we remain focused on whānau first?
So I think there's a couple of answers to that. So as you are aware, and we'll be hoping to share this more broadly, Sir Mason had 10 key sort of things that came through, and he saw those actually the beacons for the future, for how we navigate forward. Part of that is, devolving those services, back to our communities, so that we can provide our own solutions. I think the other part in answering that question is going back to a previous statement I made. You know, this government is trying to make, sort of Māori kaupapa or kaupapa Māori sort of run initiatives a race-based policy, when in fact it's not race-based, it's evidence-based, And so I think it's really important that we have strong voices out there like yourself, Whaia, to say, actually, these aren't race-based policies. These are actually what we know from 30, 40 plus years of kaupapa Māori research, that researchers like Sue Mason have been pivotal in developing and creating. And if I was to summarise Sue Mason's work, one of the key things that come through is the connection between culture and well-being. Going back to a previous kōrero that you just had, Whaia, if I was to identify the most transformative thing that happens to our whānau, it's when we reconnect our whānau back to their whakapapa, when we reconnect our whānau back to their marae, when we reconnect our whānau back to their iwi. This goes into when they are reconnected, then they get to hear the stories of their tupuna, the incredible journey that they made to Aotearoa. These are stories that are contrary to the stuff that they see in the media, which is completely misrepresenting Māori or represent us as broken as an issue, And so I see those kind of two aspects as really important going forward.
Look, thank you so much, Hector. It's been great speaking with you and giving us the insights from your mahi, from your experience, but more importantly, giving us an indication and building on what Sue Mason said today of where we need to go to ensure that we do not squander the next 40 years as well. And I suspect when you look today at the whānau order providers who were there and other providers that are operating in the communities right now, I don't see any indication that they're likely to throw in the towel and say, it's too hard. They're there for the long haul. They're there for their mokapuna. And as challenging as the future might be, I believe that they're up for it.
And again, I just want to acknowledge you, Whaia, and your leadership, particularly in the whānau water space. So, ngā mihi ki a koe.
Kia ora. Thank you so much. Nice to have you with us. Kia ora, Hector. Have a good evening. Thank you. And it was really great to talk with Hector Kaiwai, and he is the director of Wai Ranaho, and so important with much of the research that we have done in the whānau, in the whānau order commissioning agency area. Hector has led that, and he's been pivotal to informing much of the mahi that the whānau order commissioning agency undertakes. I cannot stress enough the importance of Māori having their own researchers who know, who have a worldview, a Māori worldview. They are, of course, absolutely professional in their approach, and above reproach as well, I might add. These are the people that we want to listen to. So, excuse me. So we're going to have a song, and then I'm going to go to my next guest.